The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, the FBI said it had probable cause, so we got to talk about Mar-a-Lago, of course. And then, do you think that's actually trouble for Donald Trump? Is Donald Trump in trouble, depending on how this goes? And so I want to talk about that and go through, so what was in this highly redacted affidavit today, which about 65 to 70% of it was redacted, meaning covered in what essentially looks like black Sharpie. So 65 to 70% you could even see. So there's that, and then Trump's response, some response on Twitter, which is then going to lead me to social media, and a fascinating bit of information came out just the other day on Joe Rogan's massive podcast when he was talking to none other than Mr. Facebook, Mr. Meta himself, Dr. Mark Zuckerberg, doctor of information destruction, whatever you want to call it. That was just wild. That will tie into the Alex Berenson story we talked about before with our out-of-control government. Trying to control the narrative and what information you get, how much of it you get, and hiding the truth in many, if not most, cases. And so that's a shocker. We got to talk about that. Because we talked about Alex Berenson went after Twitter and won. And Twitter had been in collusion, our favorite word in America, in the last 8 years, and been in collusion with the FBI. And then Mark Zuckerberg steps up to the plate with Joe Rogan. Ding, 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 ding. Same thing. And then, of course, a lot of people are talking about the younger you are, perhaps you're cheering in the streets because you're about to have $10,000 of your student loan knocked out by the president of the United States, who I don't really think has constitutional authority to do it. But that's neither here nor there, because the Constitution's such an old document, Steve. It's like the Bible. Why do you even listen to that? You read that stuff? It's so old. It's ridiculous. So we'll talk about Joe Biden and his massive student debt cancellation. DeSantis has something to do about that. I got some interesting information about the size of the endowments in both private and public universities. Massive numbers, shocking. So why do we regular folks in America pay our taxes? Why do we have to pay off other people's bills when these universities have so much stinking money? You'll be shocked by that. And then Mike Rowe on that one. Good old Mike Rowe, dirty jobs guy, like him. Most of us like him. He started to say something on Facebook and then just got on this particular issue. So I'll read that. And then punted it over to somebody called Charlie Cook, I think at National Review, who wrote an incredible article. Biden's student debt bonfire is a classist message, meaning elites, right? To the uncredentialed. Here's the message. Can I say this on the radio? Like screwdriver them, right? You with me? So we'll get to that. And then finally, and I've been talking about this for several years, that the LGBTQIA plus community is going to turn in on itself and it's going to turn into like a civil war. That is happening. Check this out. This was in the Daily Wire. I'm going to get to this last. LGB, drop the T, trends on Twitter as many in the gay community reject transgender ideology. So isn't this interesting that all of a sudden the conservative Christian community, which just means you read the Bible and believe the Bible, is going to be an ally, which they talk about, you know, allies, people that support the LGBTQ movement. Now the LGB drop the T, which is trending. I'll share that article with you, because they reject transgender ideology and the grooming that goes with it in many cases, like us conservative Christians. You cannot make this stuff up, friends. Welcome to the show. It is Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Friday, August 26th. In case you're wondering. Oh, thanks for asking. I had a pretty good week, a tiring week. a great week in many ways. I started teaching back at teaching this week. You've probably heard me say something about it in the last few months. Biggest teaching year I've ever had. I have 8 in-person classes, 2 on Tuesday, 3 on Wednesday, 3 on Thursday. So if you notice my voice sounding a little more like that, there's a reason behind it. And then 2 online classes, and now I have audit students as well. And audit students are just people that want to watch my classes, either the U.S. history class or the civics class. You can do that as well. Just go to NobleUSchool.com, NobleU as in university, NobleUSchool.com. So I've got audit students now, which is cool. Some young ones, some older ones, like people like me. I'm 56. And they're just like, man, I'd love a refresher in this, or I appreciate the way you handle the issues, Steve. I'd love to be a part of your class. I just don't want to do homework. That's cool. I understand that. So you can audit the classes as well. So that started this week. I have about 155, 156 students that I'm grading, including online students, and then 10 right now. We just threw the audit thing out there just a few days ago, and people are signing up. So that's cool. I want to teach and reach and impact as many people as I can for the glory of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, utilizing the Word of God in a very robust biblical worldview delivered by a far from perfect person who is actually, you know, fairly well suited to do all that, despite my own sin and shortcomings. And so you can check that out. All right, here we go. So praise the Lord. Wow. Okay, so they finally released, quote unquote, released the redacted, heavily redacted 65-70% of the affidavit. FBI said it had probable cause to believe additional classified docs remained at Mar-a-Lago. The FBI said, this is from Fox, the FBI said it had probable cause to believe that additional records, by the way, it just depends on where you go. Steve, Fox News, I know what that's going to say. Right, it's going to lean a little right. Not always, but usually. And sometimes a little, sometimes a lot. You go to CNN, it's like, you know, pop the corks, man. Donald Trump's going down. I'm going to get to that. Just depends on where you go. And just remember, no matter you're going right or left for your news and your media, it's being skewed and you're being sold. Okay? You're being sold a certain narrative. So you have to be wise and discerning, which is why we talked about wisdom yesterday with Sam Horn on Theology Thursday. Go listen to that show or watch it if you didn't catch it. So the FBI said, I'm just going to tee this up, it had probable cause to believe that additional records containing classified information, including national defense information, would be found on the premises of former President Trump's Mar-a-Lago home beyond what he had previously turned over to the National Archives and Records Administration, according to the unsealed and heavily, about 70%, redacted affidavit used to justify the raid. The affidavit was unsealed Friday, today. And then approximately 20 pages of the 38-page affidavit were either significantly or fully redacted. Somebody else figured it out already. It's about 68% of everything in that 38-page affidavit is redacted, meaning covered in black ink. So you can't read it. So we're going to go through that. And then some angles on that. Trump's comments on that are Trumpian, as always. And what's Twitter saying? That'll lead us to Mark Zuckerberg, which will lead us to DeSantis, which will lead us to LGB. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Holiday sounds kind of nice in the midst of all this madness, doesn't it? When I say FBI or Department of Justice, do you immediately roll your eyes? Have you lost all trust in those institutions? I think I have from the top down to a certain point. And then you get all kind of the regular folks and regular FBI agents who are just trying to serve the common good and do the right thing. And they're taking orders from on high. But generally, I think everything from the top down to about the middle, and then you got the whole problem with the bureaucracy, which is another conversation, is just completely politicized and unable to think about the rule of law at all anymore. If you think you live in a nation of the rule of law, you don't at the federal level and much of legislation, and even now into the court system. You live in a nation ruled by political will, I think, more than the rule of law, from a national and state legislative perspective. The rule of law still applies. You go drive like a maniac the rest of today and tonight and into tomorrow, and the rule of law is going to catch you. But when you're dealing with national issues and political issues out of D.C. or out of your state capital or my state capital, I think largely and predominantly it's a matter of political will than it, more so than it is the rule of law. So this is why this whole issue with Trump and the affidavit is very dangerous for our nation, because as we continue to lose confidence in national institutions, federal institutions, that destabilize the whole country, which, of course, our enemies would love. And that's very serious. Okay, whether you like Trump or hate him, whether they find something or not, the fact that our national institutions, especially in the Department of Justice, are increasingly losing a vast majority of Americans' trust is a really big problem. And one for us as Christians, when we go back and bother to read, when Paul's writing to Timothy, and pray for those in authority over you so that you can live a quiet and peaceable life, you can kind of see the value in that, can't you? Pray for those in authority over you. By the way, regardless of what party they're in, whether you voted for them or not, whether you like them or not, pray for them because they desperately need it. From a salvific perspective, number one, and from a wisdom and discernment and common good perspective, number two. So we got to pray for these people. The affidavit was unsealed today. Approximately 70, about 68% of it was redacted. Trump had turned over 15 boxes to feds. And when I say that's the National Archives, okay. In January, the affidavit states that the FBI began reviewing those boxes of records in May and identified classified records in 14 of the 15 boxes. All of this, I'm sitting there going, if this stuff was really nasty and dangerous, why did it take so long? That's a legitimate question. And they've been going back and forth, and then they turned over boxes. And then actually some of the information in the affidavit references when with some of the information they asked them to FedEx it. If it were a national security issue, you're not FedExing that, okay? So that's where this is a real mixed bag. The affidavit states that the FBI's investigation, quote, had established that documents bearing classification markings, which appear to contain national defense information, were among the materials contained, appear to contain, right? So you got to be honest here. A preliminary triage of the documents with classification markings revealed the following. 184 unique documents bearing classification markings, doesn't necessarily mean anything, including 67 documents marked as confidential, which could mean something unless he declassified them, or their personal documents, and then those are his, 92 documents marked as secret, and 25 documents marked as top secret, the affidavit states. Okay, but then you got to figure out whether those remain classified or did Trump declassify them. So you got all that in here, okay? It's not as clear-cut as one might think. The FBI stated that they had probable cause to believe that additional documents that contain classified information or that are presidential records subject to record retention requirements currently remain at the premises. Okay, so if it's just a basic argument or misunderstanding about what should and cannot stay in Trump's possession. Because they did come out. I mean, they came out and inspected. And, hey, you need to secure this a little bit better. Can you put a lock on there? I'm like, if you guys are suspecting that this is national treasure level Nick Cage stuff, and you just ask them to put a padlock on there, that doesn't make me think that they're concerned that there's major issues there. So if this ends up being just another attempt... I heard somebody, I think it was Clay Travis or Buck Sexton earlier today, say maybe this is just an Al Capone thing. You can't bust him on his worst crimes, but you can get him on tax evasion. And maybe that's what people at the DOJ, the FBI, and in fact the White House itself, maybe that's what they're trying to do. We got to get him on something. Welcome to how I've felt about the Clintons for years. But welcome, we got to get him on something, anything. We got to scar this guy somehow. So they go after that, even, and this is important to know, from a constitutional perspective, if you believe in such things, that now look, this is what they're talking about. The government conducted the search in response to what it believed to be a violation of federal laws. 18 U.S.C. 793, gathering, transmitting, or losing defense information. 18 U.S.C. 2071, concealment, removal, or mutilation. And 18 U.S.C. 1519, destruction, alteration, or falsification of records in federal investigations. The allegation of gathering, transmitting, or losing defense information falls under the Espionage Act. Ooh. Sounds terrible, doesn't it? Sounds terrible. Sounds really serious. But let me remind you, even if they found him guilty of any of these things, none of it disqualifies him from running for president again. There's only two ways that happens. You're not 35. You're not a natural born system, or you've been impeached and found guilty. Other than that, you'd have to amend the U.S. Constitution. And that ain't going to happen. So even if they found him guilty, that doesn't disqualify him from running again. The big question is, how would that affect him running again? Would the martyr status then help him? I think the Trump fatigue status is probably a bigger deal than the martyr status. But this is one of the few times in the last 15 years of my life that I really don't have a good idea of what's coming our way with respect to the 2024 election. It's so bizarre. What did Trump say on Truth Social? Judge Bruce Reinhart should never, all caps, have allowed the break-in of my home. This is classic Trump communication. He rescued himself 2 months ago from one of my cases based on his animosity and hatred of your favorite president, me, Trump wrote. What changed? Why hasn't he recused himself on this case? Obama must be very proud of him right now. Yep, maybe. And then there's this. Okay, what are they saying on Twitter? Because, golly, there's the Bible, and then there's Twitter, right? So here's some conservative reaction. The Daily Wire's Twitter account tweeted a photo of one of the pages from the document that was fully blacked out and sarcastically commented, "This is very helpful. Thank you." Breaking out his own sarcastic take, Washington Times columnist Tim Young tweeted, "This affidavit is as revealing as we all assumed it would be." Conservative commentator Carmine Sabia, I don't even know who that is, tweeted, doesn't matter, you just use their tweet. "The most hilarious part of this affidavit is the media pretending that it shows something. This was done to protect President Joe Biden and the Democrats in 2024. The Federalist co-founder, Sean Davis, shared multiple images of completely redacted pages of the affidavit, commenting, "Transparency is one of the Department of Justice's and FBI's passions." That's pretty funny. In another tweet, he wrote, "DOJ and FBI are so corrupt that they're redacting their reasons for redactions in their justification for raiding a U.S. president's home." That's pretty good. Breitbart's Joel Pollack slammed the FBI justification, tweeting, "Reading through the affidavit, so far the main complaint is that Trump's boxes were disorganized and that possibly sensitive stuff was mixed in with memorabilia and junk." That's a little bit of an understatement, don't you think? He added, "For this, they raided a former U.S. president's home." Donald Trump Jr., "Well, this really clears things up." That was his tweet. "Welcome to the United States of America on the fallen planet Earth in August of 2022. Some reads on that. I got a couple more comments on that. And then we'll move on to student debt and DeSantis and a couple other things. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Experiencing a little Trump fatigue myself, so I'm done with that story for now. That's ongoing. It's not going anywhere, okay? So I was reading you some tweets, of course, which are pretty funny, from conservatives reacting to the pseudo-release of the pseudo-unredacted affidavit from the FBI, which leads me to something that just broke in the last couple of days. Joe Rogan, the massive podcaster. I love his podcast. If you want to take the time, you know, a short one's like an hour and a half. A normal one's 2 hours, two and a half. Some are three, a little over three. I mean, he's a fascinating guy, and he does great interviews. He's really good. I mean, that's why he's the biggest and the best. And so he was talking to none other than Mark Zuckerberg the other day, Mr. Meta, Mr. Facebook, and following up on the article and what happened with Alex Berenson, who was against the government narrative, the NIH narrative, the Fauci narrative, the Birx narrative, the World Health Organization narrative on COVID. And so eventually he got bounced off of Twitter, right? And then he sued him, and they settled just recently. And then he started talking about it because he found out that Twitter had been talking to the White House. And the White House had identified 12 people that they thought were a threat who were putting misinformation out there, which means you're talking against the White House narrative on anything about COVID, the shots, whatever. And then Twitter shuts the guy down, and he won. And that was one of the things he used to get them into a settlement. And then now, he said this the other day on a radio show, not this one, a different one, that he's suing the federal government, to which I say, amen, go after him. You should, because that's the federal government violating your First Amendment. Right? That's a big deal. So then you get this. Joe Rogan talking to Mark Zuckerberg at the Facebook, right? You ready? Yeah. All right, so this is Joe Rogan talking to Mark Zuckerberg. Think Alex Berenson, think censorship, think big tech and big government. And here you go. Hit it.
How do you guys handle things when they're a big news item that's controversial? Like, there was a lot of attention on Twitter during the election because of the Hunter Biden laptop story, the New York Post.
Yeah, we had that too.
Yeah, so you guys censored that as well?
So we took a different path than Twitter. I mean, basically, the background here is the FBI, I think, basically came to us, some folks on our team, and was like, hey, just so you know, like, you should be on high alert. There was we thought that there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have it on notice that basically there's about to be some kind of dump that's similar to that. So just be vigilant. So our protocol is different from Twitter's. What Twitter did is they said you can't share this at all. We didn't do that. What we do is we have if something is reported to us as potentially misinformation, important misinformation, we also have this third-party fact-checking program because we don't want to be deciding what's true and false.
Huh.
And for the – I think it was 5 or 7 days when it was basically being being determined whether it was false, the distribution on Facebook was decreased, but people were still allowed to share it. So you could still share it. You could still consume it.
So when you say the distribution is decreased,
it got shared.
How does that work?
It basically, the ranking in newsfeed was a little bit less. So fewer people saw it than would have otherwise. So it definitely.
By what percentage?
I don't know off the top of my head, but it's meaningful. But I mean, but basically, a lot of people were still able to share it. We got a lot of complaints that that was the case. You know, obviously, this is a. Hyper-political issue, so depending on what side of the political spectrum, you either think we didn't censor it enough or censored it way too much. But
right. But
we weren't sort of as black and white about it as Twitter.
Okay,
we just kind
good.
Of thought, hey, look, if the
FBI... All right, so the FBI, ring-a-ling-a-ling, right? And this is all about the Hunter Biden laptop issue, okay? So this is right before the election. And they're like, well, this is, you know, Russian misinformation. Here we go again. Russia, Russia, Russia. The Biden laptop thing. So they say, well, unlike Twitter, we didn't just ban people from sharing it. People could still consume it. We turned it down, meaning they rank it lower in the feed. Fewer people saw it. Fewer people could share it. But people could still share it, and people could still see it. And that's when Rogan asked the important question: by what percentage did you turn it down? So think of Facebook as with a volume control. This has happened to my page on Facebook. They have a volume control. Right at the beginning of the COVID thing, they hadn't touched the volume control on my page, by the way. So when I went to a couple of reopen rallies in North Carolina and stuff. I had some posting in my show and stuff. We're getting a lot of views, and I think I'm probably at about 30% of what I was 2 years ago. Okay, I haven't done anything different. I do the same basic type of show. It's still Steve Noble. It's still my approach. I still say things that some people find are controversial, whatever. But they have like a volume knob, essentially, to make it simple. They do that through an algorithm, and they turn it down. So Joe Rogan goes, by what percentage did you decrease it? I don't know, but it's meaningful. Well, 20% is meaningful. So is 90. So he's not going to say how much they and people could still share it. Really, out of the there's 400,000 users in right here in the Raleigh area where I live. Out of the 400,000 people, what percentage of them could see it? Well, you know, people. There's some people. People could still see it. Yeah, yeah. Mark, what percentage? He's not going to answer that question. So they can effectively. Plausible deniability. We still allowed people to share it. We still allowed people to consume it. We just blocked it from 98% of our users. But we still allowed people to use it, and they could still share it. They could consume that information. See the problem? It's ridiculous. But he can say that without – he doesn't give much information, so he can remain, quote-unquote, honest. But that's totally bogus, right? And so now you have the instance of Twitter and the FBI – and that Biden administration, in this case, the FBI and Facebook and Twitter, perhaps fearing government intervention, where they would lose some of their control over content, they just pony up and say, okay, fine. And they dial it down. How much did you dial it down, Mark? Oh, I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head. More than 50%? 60%? Well, it's meaningful. You see the point here? It's ridiculous. So, that's why you got to remember the vast majority of people out there in America, old and young, have a perspective of the world and life and politics and politicians and issues that's built on what they've been given to consume. So if the federal government controls your diet, they're going to control what you look like, what you feel like, what you sound like, how much weight you have, how healthy you are. When they're controlling the diet, you don't even know it's being controlled. It's like Soylent Green, if you remember that. It's people. Soylent Green is people. As the government controls the food source, right? Okay, student loan debt. There's a lot of students. probably under 30, that are pretty darn excited about this. $10,000 comes off their balance. Man, I owed 20, now I owe 10. That's what Biden's doing. And so who's paying for that? Most people under 30 don't care. And so we, us older people, we gripe and we moan, right? This is ridiculous. Somebody's got to pay. That's what Mike Rowe was talking about. DeSantis comes out. It's very unfair to have a truck driver have to pay back a loan for someone that got a PhD in gender studies. That's not fair. That's not right. He said that yesterday. It's unfair for people who took out loans and worked hard and paid off their loans, he said. If they're producing people who went deep into debt and their degree isn't worth anything and they're not able to make enough money to pay it back, then it's on them. He's talking about the colleges. You guys are selling a degree. Come here and you'll have a really great life and make enough money to pay back your loan. And then they don't make enough money because they don't get a good degree. They get a gender study degree or whatever. And then the colleges are ripping people off right and left. And I think that's largely true. I'm not a big college fan. Remember, it is a, even if they say, oh, some of us are not for profit. Oh, yes, you are. Give me a break. Everybody at the university level from the top down, especially at the top, are making huge money. Okay. So then watch. Here's the hypocrisy. It's why I'm not popular. So all of us older folks are going ballistic because of this money, $300 billion, which now they're determining is actually going to cost the country about $1 trillion. But who cares? When you're $31 trillion in debt, who cares? Throw another trillion in the bucket. Doesn't really matter. And so we're complaining about that and the young people taking advantage of it and regular people like Mike Rose talking about who don't get a break from the government. Hey, what about people that can't pay their bills for cancer? Why aren't we throwing them $10,000? There's a lot of other people I could give $10,000 to as opposed to a college grad that makes $100,000 a year and they're doing just fine and they can pay their stinking bill. Right? And I'm complaining about it. But let me turn the mirror around. Let me turn that white hot spotlight of judgment. We've all sat around and many of you have voted for people. I've voted for people who've been perfectly comfortable, including Donald Trump, running the debt up to astronomical levels. And you know who's going to pay for that? Generations are going to pay for that if it doesn't just absolutely collapse the nation. So we complain when the young people are getting a handout, but we've been burying multiple generations under national debt for decades, and especially in the last 25 years. So we're hosing people 100 years out. And then when we get it back a little bit in terms of this Biden student loan forgiveness, we go ballistic. Do you see the duplicity there? Here's who I want to pay. Speaking of paying, listen to the size of these endowments. Harvard, and these are zero taxes they pay on these. Harvard, $54 billion. Yale, $31 billion. Stanford, $29 billion. Princeton, $26 billion. Duke, right here in my backyard, $12.7 billion. MIT, $27 billion. University of Pennsylvania, $20.5 billion. How about public schools? They have them too. The University of Texas system, $42 billion. Texas A&M down there, they're over $20 billion. University of Michigan, $17 billion. Ohio State, $6.8 billion. UNC Chapel Hill, $5.1 billion. I've got some more to say about that. Okay, 10 grand off per student in America. And I actually don't think that, welcome back, it's Steve Noble. I actually don't think Joe Biden has the constitutional authority to do it. But who pays attention to the Constitution anymore? Pfft. It's like the Bible. It's so old. Why bother? So instead of, you know, Joe Blow taxpayer shouldering, they first said it's going to cost $300 billion. Now they're saying it might be about $1 trillion, actually, by the time it's all done and said. And we're tossing $10,000 little bennies, all little kids all over the country, college grads, to help them out. And that, you know, if you make less than $125,000 a year, then we're going to take $10,000 off your loan balance. You know what? If you make $105,000 a year and you can't afford your $300 or $400 a month, you're a fool. You're a financial moron. You're irresponsible and you deserve to suffer because of it. You've dug your hole. I could throw the whole book of Proverbs at you. You make enough money to be able to adjust your lifestyle and pay your debt. What a terrible lesson. Talk about, we complain about entitlement, then we do this, which makes them even more entitled. Granted, there's going to be some hard knock cases out there, but I'd like 125 grand. If you make more than 125 grand, forget it. But if you make 120, here's $10,000. No way. I'd say, you know, if you're going to do it at all, maybe for college students, college grads that make what? Less than what? 60? Maybe the national median income? If you do it at all. That's why I brought up the endowments. There's so much money out there in the college system, but they're not going to part with that. They're greedy little hands. You're not going to. Harvard, $54 billion. Yale, $31 billion. Stanford, $29 billion. University of Texas system, $42 billion. Ohio State, $6.8 billion. University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, right here in my backyard, $5.1 billion. Duke's got them beat, $12.7 billion. Look at it on a per-student basis. How much money does Princeton have in its endowment? On a per-student basis, meaning current number of students at the school, $4.4 million. Hey, Princeton, can we back that down? You got $4.4 million per student. Can you throw $10,000 at a student? But that's still going to you're still going to have $4,390,000 left per student. If you throw $10,000 per student, just throw a penny out there. Instead of the government and a bunch of regular folks paying that bill. Oh, no, we can't do that. Yale, $3.5 million per student. Harvard, $2.3 million per student. It's really pretty disgusting when you stop and think about it. Yeah, but buying votes. Hey, let's go after Trump. Maybe that'll help us in 2024 because the Democrats have a huge problem in 2024. Let's figure out a way to buy some votes. Let's get the Green New Deal going a little bit. Let's throw some money around to college students. Let's get that millennial vote. Throw them some money, which means you're like, what, a political whore? I can just buy your affection? Mike Rowe on Facebook. I work hard on this page to avoid the politics of the moment and comment only on topics that impact the foundation I'm proud to run, a foundation that awards work ethic scholarships to individuals who choose to forego an expensive four-year education in favor of a skilled trade. When I do weigh in, I try to acknowledge both sides of the argument and make my point with as much respect as I can muster. Today, however, I can only see one side. Today, I can find nothing to respect in the president's decision to transfer billions of dollars in outstanding student loans onto the backs of those people my foundation tries to assist, the same people I've spent the last 20 years profiling on dirty jobs. With that in mind, I'm not going to write the piece I just sat down to write. Instead, I'm going to share the attached article from Charlie Cook, who writes better than I do, yada, yada. So this is Charlie Cook, some of his. Biden student loan, student debt bonfire is a classist message, meaning elitist message, to the uncredentialed, meaning you people without a college education. Well, I'm just going to quote from the article. Okay, screw them. That's what it's called. That's what it said. A few moments before I sat down to write this piece, I opened the door to six guys in blue shirts who had come to my house to replace our air conditioning. The Florida weather being what it is, I've seen some of these guys work on our air conditioners before, and they're as skilled and knowledgeable and conscientious and hardworking as you might expect. The company they work for, which is local in North Florida, was started by a guy who chose to forego college in favor of taking out a small business loan to strike out on his own. Most of the technicians who worked for him didn't go to college either. They took a different path. And, well, what absolute chumps the president has just made of them for that. Squirm if you like, but that's the truth of the matter. As of today, the six air conditioning technicians in my house are on the hook for college loans that were signed for, spent, and enjoyed by other people. Confirming the measure today, President Biden announced that any American who had both college debt, blah, 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 you know that. Why? Why did he do it? Well, that's the question. The answer can't be because that's what the relevant law anticipates or requires. Another answer that won't fly is to lower the cost of education. It seems so arbitrary. Why does Biden not want to do the same thing for loans on trucks owned by plumbers? Why not for mortgages, which, given how heavily it subsidizes them, the federal government clearly thinks are worthwhile? Why not for credit cards or auto payments or mom-and-pop credit lines? The answer, I'm afraid to say, is disgustingly classist because Joe Biden and his party believe that college students are better than everyone else. That's the elite. That's why they built the progressive education system. The elite, the highly educated. We run the show. You work for us. Because you guys are morons, and we're the entitled and the enlightened. Because Joe Biden and his party prefer college students to you. And they think that those students ought to be rewarded for that by being handed enormous gobs of your money. Electricians, store managers, deli workers, landscapers, waitresses, mechanics, entrepreneurs? Forget them. Sure, college graduates make more money than non-graduates, and their unemployment rate is lower too. But non-graduates don't have access to the president, so they don't matter. They're tradesmen, the riffraff, the great unwashed. They're background noise, dirty-handed types, second-classers. They don't deserve $10,000 in debt reduction. What would they even do with it? Go hunting? Give it to their church? Their role is to subsidize the superior people, and the superior people go to college, right? This is progressivism starting in the late 1800s when they changed the educational system in America in order to create workers. And then the elites run the show, the highly educated, the intelligent. Why did Joe Biden do all this? That's why. Why was this what Joe Biden chose to break his oath to achieve? That's why. When it came down to it, good old Scranton Joe sent cash from the sort of people he cynically pretends to care about to the sort of people he actually cares about. The privileged, accredited, self-dealing clerisy that his ever-dwindling political party now calls its base. Well said, Charlie. Well said. All right, I'll leave you with this. I've been talking about this gathering storm in the LGBTQIA plus community. And then it's getting more traction all the time. Because moral chaos always collapses in on itself. It eats its own, eventually. Romans chapter 1. Go study it for yourself. LGB drop the T, that's a phrase, trends on Twitter as many in gay community reject transgender ideology. Listen to this. You're going to find yourself, conservative Christians, agreeing with homosexuals here. Earlier this month, the hashtag LGB drop the T trended on Twitter. Users who said they identify as lesbian, gay, or bisexual criticized progressive gender ideology and attempted to distance themselves from transgender activists. Those tweeting under the hashtag expressed their frustration that, in their view, the transgender movement has co-opted the gay rights movement and turned it into something unrecognizable. Quote, the T hitched a ride a few years back, invited itself for dinner, and is trying to make out that it always lived there. It didn't, tweeted user Rick Westhorp, who describes himself as a same-sex attracted in his Twitter bio. Quote, pride marches, protests, and LGB rights happened without the T. I remember I was there. I also remember the T wasn't, he added. Quote, no thanks, I'm gay, the G part, which means I exclusively like men, not women who think they're men, tweeted one gay user. A slew of gay activists posted under the trending hashtag that transgender activists must be iced out of the movement because they have crossed a line. What line is that? One Twitter user said her daughter is lesbian but began identifying as a boy after three of her friends said that they were transgender. That's called a social contagion. Quote, I support dropping the T from the LGB. These are not the same, she tweeted. Many young gay people are being drawn into social and medical transition. It needs to stop. I agree. Quote, real change is coming to the LGB community, and I am here siding with them. Happy to see it happen. Any group of people seeking to silence women into submission and exploit the lesbian community can go to hell, tweeted another user. Wow, it's pretty strong. Another Twitter user said separating trans-identifying people from lesbian, gay, and bisexual people is a necessary step because transgender ideology negates the objective truth of men and women, which in turn negates the existence of gay, lesbian, or bi people. That's a really great point. On top of that, they tweeted, they need to stop the grooming. Whoa. Yes, this is a gay Twitter user leveling the charge at the transgender community that they're grooming young people. In recent months, stories have cropped up about children as young as two identifying as transgender. Social contagion. And then you got woke parents going, oh, okay, good, Billy, whatever. I just want you to know your authentic self at 2 or 3 or 4 or 10. We didn't sign on for this blank. We don't want kids groomed. Not wanting men in our spaces or to have sex with certain genitalia does not make us transphobes. We promised it wasn't the slippery slope they feared. You took advantage of our goodwill. It's gone too far, another Twitter user said. Yet another tweeted that the pendulum is already swinging. Quote, nobody wants to deal with the trans movement. It's full of satanic, grooming, pro-body mutilation dictators who have destroyed many lives for not playing with their delusions. Wow. I haven't heard many conservatives or even Christians using language that strong. Nobody wants to deal with the trans movement. It's full of satanic, grooming, pro-body mutilation dictators who have destroyed many lives for not playing with their delusions, tweeted the user. Pray. We got a lot to pray about. Testify to the truth. Jesus said, for this reason I was born and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. And when you testify to the truth, you do not know what God will do with it, but we are called to be faithful. Testify to the truth. Do it with as much grace and compassion and patience and gentleness and love as you can. But testify you must. And to be shown up by some gay activists who are willing to testify to some of these truths, that should be a wake-up call to all of us. Truth and grace. Don't be a coward. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always said, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.